Eversource's application states that the Northern Pass Transmission will recover the costs of constructing the project from Hydro Renewable Energy, Inc., an indirect, wholly owned U.S. subsidiary of Hydro-Quebec. Is it accurate to state that the entire or majority of the cost of construction of the proposed 192-mile line is being paid for by Hydro-Quebec? That's the question. Is it accurate to state that the entire or a majority of the cost of construction of the proposed 192-mile line is being paid for by Hydro-Quebec?
Yeah, so either directly or indirectly, that's true. It will not be borne by New Hampshire customers. Okay, so, you know, we mentioned, you know, southern New England, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. They are currently soliciting a large amount of clean energy. Northern Pass will likely participate in that solicitation. So that potentially could be a funding source. So there's going to be a combination potentially of funding sources. Ultimately, our relationships, our agreements are with Hydro-Quebec, and it flows through that transmission support agreement that I alluded to earlier.
Okay, this is an economic question, but I'm not sure if you can answer it. How can a reduction in overall production here in America contribute to economic growth and stability? Won't the outsourcing of production reduce overall gross domestic product? What type of legislation does the United States have in place to safeguard the monopolization of American energy markets? Would Hydro-Quebec be willing to partner with the U.S. and perform profit sharing as the Alaskan oil industry has done?
Okay. So, you know, if you look at New England and what are the sources of baseload power to replace the retiring nuclear plants, coal plants, and oil plants, you know, there are very few viable options for New England. You know, we can build more natural gas plants for domestic production, but we are already in excess of 50% dependent on natural gas for New England's energy supply. So, you know, we are losing something that, you know, energy planners have long valued, which is supply diversity. We are highly dependent on natural gas for generating electricity now. Today it looks good. Gas prices are low. You see it at the pump. Natural gas prices are low, therefore electric prices are. You know, it tends to be a volatile commodity, both price and supply-wise, and we are becoming very dependent on it. We're not going to build any new nuclear plants anytime soon, I suspect, in New England. Coal and oil, also not viable. You know, there's virtually no other baseload options other than large-scale hydro imports. We can use small-scale renewables, wind and solar, but those are intermittent. They're not going to replace baseload supplies. So from a production perspective, we really need to, you know, figure out the answer. How do we rebuild those supplies for the plants that are retiring? In my view, it's going to be a combination of natural gas, large-scale hydro imports, and then growing dependence on renewables that are intermittent, solar and wind. You know, as far as, I guess, the cross-border importation of hydro, you know, if you look at the Obama administration's clean power plan, they look at our, you know, how does this country, how does this region meet its clean energy goals in the future? For the first time, In the recently released plan by EPA, they put a very heavy emphasis on hydro imports from Canada. It's the only way this country meets its clean energy goals. So is there, you know, there's certainly federal recognition of the important part that this supply could play in the energy mix.
Okay, we're going to move on to some environmental questions, public health and safety, wildlife. First one is, people in Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire are hearing radio ads saying that Eversource is bringing hydropower and green energy to those areas. What transmission lines are those ads referring to, and is there any chance that those ads partially refer to the Northern Pass?
I suspect they do. Those ads are referring to Northern Pass. You know, it's clearly our intention to bring a large amount of clean energy into the region to meet our clean energy and other objectives. You know, as I said, the only commitments thus far have been from New Hampshire in the form of the memorandum of understanding that we were talking about earlier. But I do expect Massachusetts to have an interest in this power supply. You know, Massachusetts is a state with very aggressive clean energy goals. Pilgrim Nuclear Station just announced its retirement, so it's a non-emitting source, a large source that's going away. You know, unless they rely on imported hydro, you know, they're going to be going in the wrong direction because it's going to be replaced by natural gas, or they're going to run coal and oil more regularly. So I do expect Massachusetts to have an interest in the supply. You know, I alluded to the clean energy RFP. They're a key participant in that. Northern Pass is the kind of ideal project for helping to meet those needs as well.
Speaking of what direction you're going in, if Northern Pass is supposed to deliver power to New England, why is it a bi-directional line as described in the FERC agreement?
The technology allows for actually precise control, unlike an AC connection. So the DC power can be delivered to New England, or it also can be delivered to Hydro-Quebec. I'm aware of one occasion in the last decade where New England actually delivered power to Hydro-Quebec. I believe that occurred in December of 2014. Where they ran into an emergency situation surrounding Montreal, and for a period of a few hours, we actually exported power to help Hydro-Quebec and the city of Montreal get through a potential reliability issue. So again, this is not a quote reliability project, but it will have some ancillary benefits to Hydro-Quebec as well.
Mr. Quinlan, transmission cables are now proposed for the length of Lake Champlain. Why can't you put transmission cables down in the Connecticut River?
The Connecticut River is a non-navigable waterway. Which means that it's not deep enough to allow for boats or any kind of traffic. There are certain requirements of minimum depths that must be met for the safe operation and the installation of undersea or underwater cables in this sense. So the Connecticut River is not a viable option as a route.
Okay. The next question is about a specific abutter, but I think it's a pretty important issue that probably you're going to get a lot of questions about as you go forward. If this HVDC line happens, I will be in a abutter. My home is in Stuartstown and would be very close to a transition area where the line will come from underground to towers. The tower and transition area will be on or next to my easement, spring, and aqueduct on Holden Hill. What guarantees do we have that Northern Pass will not destroy my water source to my house and my two neighbors' homes? And I guess you might want to address that for all abutters on the line.
That's an excellent question. Typically, what we do prior to construction is meet with landowners that have wells and or septic systems and or, in this case, artesian streams that are a water supply source. During the construction phase, we'll be very careful not to disturb these supplies. Obviously, it's critical to have a house and have a water supply. If there is some damage or incidents that occur, those will be addressed on a case-by-case basis as we go forward. And our goal, obviously, is to have no impact at all.
Please provide the relevant findings on electric and magnetic fields that have been published in specific science journals that are peer-reviewed.
My name is Christopher Soderman with Eversource Energy. And Appendix 37 to the application, which is available on the website, is a summary of all of the studies that have been done by a number of agencies, including the World Health Organization, the Scientific Committee for Emerging and Newly Identified Health Risks, SCANER, in Europe, ARPANSA in Australia. All of these agencies conduct these kinds of reviews. Additionally, all other published studies have been addressed and are discussed in that report, so that all of those findings are available. This is Appendix 37 to the application. You can see it right on the website. And it should be noted that the World Health Organization and SCANER recently concluded that there's no causal, relationship that they can establish based on all this research. And this is particularly the case with HVDC lines, especially considering that the magnetic fields from HVDC lines mimic a naturally occurring phenomenon, being the same field that makes your compass point north.
Okay, this next question is another question about the Pondicherry Refuge. And the question is, has Northern Pass researched the possibility, and you may have answered some of this already, but I'll ask the whole question because there are some parts that have not been answered. Has the Northern Pass researched the possibility of negative impacts on the 10 square mile Pondicherry U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Refuge? Northern Pass comes close to this refuge at its northwest corner. Has there been any contacts between Northern Pass with this refuge? I assume they mean U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Will the towers be seen from locations in the refuge? And will the Northern Pass corridor influence fragmentation of the wildlife corridors? And has there been any study by Northern Pass regarding the impact on wetlands in and around the refuge and on the potential introduction of invasive species into the refuge?
Yeah, thank you. Lee Carboneau from Normando Associates, and we have addressed the issues at Pondicherry in much the same way that we address them anywhere in the corridor. So we've evaluated the impacts to wetlands, we've quantified those impacts to wetlands, we have looked at the potential effects on wildlife movement through the corridor. Because this is an existing corridor, the wildlife that use it are likely to keep using it. It will be managed in much the same way that the corridor is currently managed. The addition of new structures that are spaced 700, 600 feet apart on average should not affect the movement of wildlife through this corridor, either flying wildlife or walking wildlife. We have met with folks from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Pondicherry Division in particular to discuss our project. They have asked us to try and make sure that any construction methods that are used are consistent with their management plans, and they have just issued a management plan in 2015. So we'll be checking that and making sure that any of our avoidance and minimization methods that are proposed are consistent with what they would like to see during construction. Let's see. As far as invasive species, that is always a concern in corridor management and during construction. So we have developed a plan for trying to minimize the introduction or spread of invasive species throughout the project area. And it involves monitors that are checking to make sure that equipment is properly washed and taken care of, that any construction mats that are laid down for access, these are timber mats across wetlands or other sensitive areas, are kept clean and aren't used from one spot to another without being inspected. If invasive species are encountered in a particular area where actual excavation is occurring, the project will dispose of any of that soil containing those species in a manner that doesn't permit them to be spread in any other location. So a number of these kinds of protective measures are outlined in our application. They're in the wetland mitigation report, I believe. I think that covers it.
Thank you. All right, the next question is one similar to what we had before, and Eversource employees who don't wish to answer are under no obligation to answer. But this question is, I would like to know by a show of hands who among the attendees tonight are working or employed, either directly or indirectly, by Eversource or Northern Pass. Second question, by show of hands, how many have absolutely no problem asking your neighbors, your friends, and your family to live near the new proposed power line? How many have no problem with your friends and neighbors living near the power line? Okay, this first question on this sheet has already been asked about jobs after startup, but the second question is, you are saying there are $4 billion of proposed economic benefits for New Hampshire. How many billions of dollars will Hydro-Quebec get per year?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think his answer is he does not know. You just said that this question is phrased as a follow-up question. You just said people who can write quickly are advantaged in this proceeding. You just said that the taxes will get paid by ratepayers. Is that correct? I thought no part of Northern Pass would be paid by ratepayers.
So what I was referring to were taxes on current infrastructure owned by Eversource New Hampshire that is in our rate base and is therefore being paid for by ratepayers. Taxes associated with Northern Pass will not be borne by Eversource New Hampshire ratepayers. It'll be part of the ordinary expense of the project.
That's contrary to what you just said. That's not even a question, but it's a question.
Thank you. Please be courteous. The next question is, you said an additional $1 billion to bury the line isn't feasible, yet you said a more costly project results in larger returns. So if you get larger returns, won't you recoup that $1 billion?
It's not a question of, you know, Eversource's returns. It's a question of, is the project economic, meaning someone will pay for it? Our view is that if you added an additional $1 billion of cost with no additional benefit or capacity, no one will pay for it.
Did you consider a different route through Bethlehem, one that would involve the Pine Tree Power right-of-way? And if you haven't, would you?
I cannot speak directly to the what was it, the pine?
Pine Tree Power right-of-way.
The Pine Tree Power right-of-way, I'm unfamiliar with that. Oh, okay. I will say in general that we did do an exhaustive study early on regarding right-of-ways throughout the entire state and sort of all the way from the international border south to Deerfield, and evaluated different sets of corridors such as the pine plant. The one corridor that made sense is the one that we had originally proposed as an overhead solution, using as much as possible existing right-of-way. So the right-of-way that we've chosen through Bethlehem was because it was the most direct route from the north to the south.
As well as there being an existing right-of-way with an existing transmission line that could be run parallel. You know, that's what led to that selection.
Can you state to what degree the following statements are true or false? And I'll just go through them. There's three. Did indication of opposition by National Forest play any role in burying it, meaning the line, through the forest? In other words, the question is, did an indication of opposition, I assume by the Forest Service is what they're talking about, play any role in burying Northern Pass
through the forest? Were a lot of factors in that decision. You know, I would say the principal driver for it was feedback we received from stakeholders in New Hampshire. You know, we also factored in, you know, the Department of Energy's draft environmental impact statement, but there are several different factors.
Did opposition by the Forest Society on its land play any role in burying it in those sections?
No.
Did the overall wealth of the communities to fight overhead play any role in burying it in those areas or communities?
No.
And this goes to the Forward New Hampshire plan. Why aren't you targeting all Forward New Hampshire money to towns with above-ground transmission lines?
So that is largely the intention. It may not be exclusive. There may be some investments that in initiatives that are pursued in other towns hosting the line, but I do expect the vast majority of it to be directed towards communities where the construction is overhead. And again, we're committed to having a particular focus on Coos County in the North Country in deploying those proceeds.
That's all the questions. We have exhausted all of them. We are going to take a 3-minute break. Please be back in your seats at 9 o'clock.